as to where this has been handled by so many people. I've got some hand wash here before we do communion, so am I switched on? I am. Okay, so whatever we do, just want to bring a short message this morning before we share communion. Whatever we do. So as a 16-year-old, I'd finished school and was waiting to go into sixth form college and got myself a labouring job in a sheet metal factory for about 6 weeks, clearing up scrap metal, sweeping the floors, painting these old lockers, I remember, it was horrible, making tea, just skivvy jobs that no one else really wanted to do. Oh, yeah, Ken, the boy will do that. And but actually, what I learnt over those 6 weeks from my colleagues, who they were all older than me, considerably older, what I learnt from them was how to do as little as possible without getting sacked. That was my big learning from those 6 weeks. I think the Apostle Paul would have had something to say about that. That's not the attitude that he would have promoted. And so this morning we're in, and I think the Farsi speakers, oh no, they don't. There's no Bibles this morning. If you have a Bible on your phone or something, that's great. If you have a Bible in your bag, but we're not handing Bibles around because it's just another means of spreading the virus. So I'm going to read this passage from Colossians. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So Paul's letter to this church in Colossae describes the kind of community God was calling them to be, with daily lives marked out by love and kindness and compassion in their places of work or activity and in their relationships among one another. Now the social conditions clearly were very different to our time. You know, he's addressing slaves. And some have taken this to mean that Paul approved of slavery. Well, forget that. It was a different time that they were operating in. Slaves were a key part of that society. You know, the Roman Empire ran on its army, but also slavery in households. That was how it was. That's how it was. But Paul actually speaks. He's not pressing for the demolition of that system with slavery as part of it, but he is advocating for good treatment of slaves. You know, in the next few verses, it addresses slave masters. It says, "Provide for your slaves what is right and fair." So he's not advocating demolish this system of slavery, but he is saying within that system, be just, be fair, be good and kind. He's not looking for social anarchy. So today, very different, but the same principles still apply. Our commitments to Jesus as Lord as master is to be worked out in daily life, in our relationships with others, in our service of Jesus himself. Now, most of those hearing this letter being read, because they wouldn't have been able to read it for themselves, it would have been read out in their community. Most of those hearing it would have been slaves. The early church was readily taken up by slaves, people who had little control over their lives, but who's heard something in the gospel message that rang true for them. And so the Christianity grew very strongly among the slave community. And they probably thought, I'm sure they thought, that their lives, their daily tasks were just insignificant, irrelevant. You know, pour this out, do that, clean this, carry that. Just menial jobs for most of them, with little significance. And yet, in a way, as I said earlier, their small tasks kept the whole society running. They did the sort of stuff that needs to happen in order for society to work. And Paul encourages them to see that these small jobs that they had, these orders that they followed, they mattered. What they did mattered. It wasn't irrelevant. And you might feel similarly. You might be in a role, whether it's at home or in paid work or wherever, where you're doing what seems like just a nothing kind of job. You think, well, anyone could do this. You might think it's just unimportant, insignificant. But I think God would say to you too, you know, do your work faithfully, honestly, diligently, whatever it is, whatever it is. Or you might consider that your job, your task in life is so important, and yet God's not interested in that. That's my work. It's my work. Now, I don't think we've got any chief executives or whatever, but we have some very important people in this room, people whose jobs have a certain status with them. But you might think that's of no interest to God. Well, let me tell you, it is. It is. I think as we saw last week or the week before, we spend so much of our time proportionately at work that of course it matters to God. Of course it does. You know, it's not that God's only interested in church and prayer and worship. Because then once we start thinking that's all that God's concerned about, you know, God's only bothered about us when we come here. No. Because then you start getting this sacred church, worship, teaching of the word, and secular, all the other stuff. You get put a division between them. And there should be no division. God's concerned about life, integrated, whole life. So whether your work, your tasks, your role during the week is seems trivial and small, or whether it's in society's eyes something really important, actually it matters to God. It's important to God. So Paul says, whatever you do, and that very phrase kind of destroys this division. You know, so whether it's me, who in a sense professionally I'm doing the church stuff, or whether it's one of you who's doing quite different stuff, whatever you do, everything comes under God's watchful eye. All of it is important to him. And it's interesting that in the passage that I read, that phrase, whatever you do, is repeated. So the first time he talks about it, It's in a sort of worship and church context. He's talking about the. He said, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs, church stuff." You know, and immediately after that, and whatever you do, whatever you do. So that the context there is very much a worship or church setting. But then later on, he's talking, having addressed these different groups of people, the wives, the husbands, children, fathers, slaves, and he's saying to them, you know, have a good attitude in what you're doing. And whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So it's like whether you're worshipping and praying and whatever, do that before the Lord. And when you do your tasks, your daily tasks, also do that as if before the Lord as well. Now, at present, you know, as we've said a few times this morning, we're in strange circumstances. And I had a thought this morning, coming out of the shower. I thought, should we be panic buyers or peace bringers? Because this whatever you do, it's not just about the tasks that you're doing, it's who you are. Who are you in that workplace or in the home or in that volunteer role? Who is it? What kind of person are you? Are you a panic buyer? Are you going to go with the herd and buy 15 toilet rolls when you don't actually need any? Or are you going to bring peace? Are you going to be a peace bringer in your situation? Because boy, oh boy, do we need those people at the moment. You know, there is a hysteria that's building, which is not healthy. You know, I understand people being a little anxious, but it can get really out of hand, and it's not good. So, panic buyer, peace bringer, you choose. Are you going to be a Corporal Jones? Don't panic. Whoa. Or maybe Private Fraser, we're doomed. Preferably a Sergeant Wilson. Do you think that's wise, sir? Or you might be on the make. I won't call Ed. But I know. But actually, it's funny. But think of that through the week. What kind of spirit are you going to take into your context during this week? So, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. When we do something in his name, we're acting as Jesus' representatives. We are his ambassadors. You know, it's like Davis, when he's stood on his front line tomorrow at Fred Perry House. Yes, he's an employee of Stockport Borough Council, but he's an ambassador for Jesus as well. Have you got a badge saying that, Davis? Should do. But we all do. Whatever our context, we are ambassadors for Jesus. So this week I can seeing what people have written here. Oh, there's some nice drawings. So whether I'm at my desk or in training, whether I'm in training this week, or maybe an olive branch, whether I'm on the telephone or teaching patients. Can't imagine what that is, interestingly. Whether I'm doing those things or whether I'm praying, whether I'm cleaning the house, whether I'm listening and talking with friends, leading teams of therapists in the community, and all the other things that you will be doing this week. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. We're all Christ's ambassadors, representing him in what we do, how we do it, and what we say. And then whatever you do, do it with all your heart. All your heart. give yourself to what you're doing. There's a word that often the Bible uses. It's wholehearted. It's the opposite of being half-hearted. We all know about half-hearted. We don't really like half-hearted people. Be wholehearted in what you're doing. Now, that's easier if you enjoy what you're doing. If you feel that, you know, yes, this is my life vocation and this is what I do and God's called me to it. You may not have that sense about what you do. You might find it boring or tedious, meaningless even. And that can be difficult. But Paul, I think, would say, if you're a manager, become known as the best manager in your organization. If you're a cleaner, become known as the best cleaner in that place. If you're a parent, seek to parent wholeheartedly, giving your full attention to that important task. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And just as Paul encourages slaves in their work, we too can encourage those whose work may seem small and insignificant. It doesn't matter to Paul or to God what you do so much as how you do it. Attitude is everything. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord.